Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 7 of The Orbit Season 2. My name is Umema Suhail, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at the Sputnik, Wilfrid Laurier University's independent student newspaper on the Brantford campus. The Orbit is the Sputnik's official podcast where I sit down and have a chat with writers and creators on our team about their published work in our monthly issues. In this episode, I am pleased to welcome Mitchell Hartman, the Sputnik's lead sports writer.
Hi, Umema. Thanks for having me on the podcast. For those who don't know me, my name is Mitchell, and I'm a second-year student studying digital media and journalism here at the Brantford campus. And along with being the lead sports writer at the Sputnik, I also write for a couple hockey websites, including the Hockey Writers, where I just recently started. I cover the Dallas Stars for them, and I also write for Editor in Leaf, where obviously I cover the Toronto Maple Leafs. And as well as that, I'm also a game operations employee with the OHL's Brantford Bulldogs. So, an honor to be on the podcast, Marma. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you for joining us. And yes, Mitchell is a very experienced journalist so far. And he did write an article called Kansas City Chiefs Win Super Bowl 58 for our springtime issue in March. Be sure to grab a copy on campus, but you can also read his story on our website. So, Mitchell, how are you doing today? How's your morning been so far?
Pretty good. I woke up 8:30-ish, and then I started watching Survivor. I don't know if anyone out there watches Survivor, but it's one of my favorite shows. I watch it all the time with my family, but now that I'm moved away for school, obviously I can't watch it with them. So the episode came out last night. Obviously, a Leaf game was on, so I watched that instead. But this morning, I woke up extra early and made sure to watch Survivor while I eat my oatmeal. It was a really good episode. I won't spoil anything for those who do watch it, but watched that, washed my dishes, kind of just got ready for the day, and then came out here to record this episode. So pretty uneventful day so far, but we got a couple of things planned for later. I got a haircut later at like 4 p.m. I'm gonna go to. But I think the student union is like put on like a carnival or something, like end of the year carnival, in the Rack Courtyard. So I'm gonna go check that out for a bit. And it's Thursday, so we're gonna hit up Hudson Public for half off wings and see what else is going on tonight. But yeah, pretty uneventful day, but it's gonna be a good one for sure.
Oh wow, that is really eventful. That's like, so I didn't know. So the Students Union is having like an event today, and then they're always having events, but I never know about them.
Yeah, so they do post them on Campus Life Brantford. For those who don't follow Campus Life Brantford, it's definitely the spot where they post everything, make sure that you're up to date on all the events going on. But yeah, it's like I think this week and next week are gonna be like their end of the year type of thing. So a couple nights ago they had a DJ night, and I think today is gonna be like a carnival similar to the one that I think they put on during O Week, where I'm trying to think, like they're gonna have like mini golf there, they're gonna have like food trucks, I don't know if anything else is going on, but off the top of my head, I think that's what's going on. They're gonna have like little games, they're gonna have like the jousting game where you, like two people stand on the mat and they try and shove each other off with a big stick. So but yeah, I want to check that out for sure. It's gonna be a fun event.
Oh yeah, that actually sounds really fun. So sorry, when did you say this was gonna be?
it starts tonight, 5 p.m 5 till 9.
Okay.
So
well, I'll be long gone by then. Yeah, gotta drive back to Waterloo after this. But okay,
you don't live on campus?
No, I used to. I lived on campus last year, and for the second term, when classes were in person.
Okay.
But this year I was like, you know what? If I have my license now, finally.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Then I might as well drive, because it took me a while to get my license too, just because of COVID.
I bet, right?
So it was just tough times.
No, I actually got so lucky with that. So I had booked my G2 test like days before a lockdown had come in, and when I booked it, this was in like March of 2021. I booked it for June, and the day I booked it for it was like 2 days after the lockdown had ended. So I still got to do mine, but it's not like I know a bunch of people that had theirs during the lockdown. They had to get it pushed back even further. Yeah. So I got pretty lucky with mine. I got mine on my 17th birthday, actually. Yeah. So
funny how
that worked out.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's smart that you did it for June, because for me, the first one got canceled because of COVID, and then the second one got canceled because of the snow.
No
way.
Because
it was in February.
Oh.
So it just, and then I ended up booking it like three times. Every time I tell my friends, they were like, well, what do you keep messing up on? And I'm just like, I didn't even take it once.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, but yeah, crazy, crazy times. Looks like you have a very eventful day in front of you. So I do want to talk a bit about sports.
Sure.
And, you know, going into eventfulness, your opening sentence in the article that we're going to be talking about today mentioned that this is pretty much the first time a team has won the Super Bowl in back-to-back years since, like, 2004 and the 2004 season. So, me personally, I'm not such a big sports fan. I don't really keep up with these things. But even to me, I feel like this is a really big deal.
Yeah, no, it is, totally. And, like, you know, it's something that you don't see a lot in football. And even, like, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, how good they were for so long, right? And now you see Mahomes with the Chiefs trying to do something similar. They actually pulled off the back-to-back Super Bowls, which you haven't seen in a long time with the NFL. So I'm also not the biggest NFL fan, not the biggest football fan, but especially the Super Bowl, it's always a fun event. You know, just hanging out with your buddies, watching a football game. You know, eating food and just enjoying the game. So I knew I had to cover it once Super Bowl happened. I knew I wanted to talk about it. There is a lot to write about, and it was a fun article to write. So I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. So I actually did want to ask you, like, what were you doing in the moment that, like, you were watching the game and you saw that they won? And, like, what was your reaction? How'd you feel?
So, like I said, I'm not the biggest football fan, more of a Seahawks fan. But I do enjoy watching the Super Bowl. And, you know, considering how big of an event it is, I knew I just had to cover it. You know, watching it from my experience, it was one of the better football games I've seen in a long time. Very good halftime show. Very good game with lead changes. And second ever Super Bowl game to go to overtime. So I know I had to cover that as well. Went to OT and, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think a lot of people were doubting them a little bit. Even, like, on a lot of the experts picked San Francisco. But I knew Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, it's hard to count them out, especially in big games. We've seen him time and time again, you know, come out on top. I think correct me if I'm wrong, he's only lost three times in the playoffs in his career, something like that. So I know someone can correct me on that, but I think he's lost to Brady twice and he lost to Joe Burrow a few years ago. So it's hard to count them out, especially Mahomes in the playoffs. He's done so well. And I wasn't necessarily cheering for any team, but, you know, it's such an exciting game. It's tough to just not, when the heat of the moment, it's just tough to not enjoy such an amazing game like that. It went to OT. Definitely a big storyline there. Definitely lots to cover. And when the game was happening, I knew I just had to cover it. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun to watch and obviously a lot of fun to write as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, and of course, like, I assume you were probably, like, with your friends at this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So so my girlfriend had a Super Bowl watch party at her house. You know, I got along well with her roommates and a couple of my buddies were there too. And we showed up a few hours beforehand just to hang out, have some food and just chill. And then me and a couple of my buddies went to the casino beforehand just to, you know, have something to do. And I did not have a good day at the casino, but you know what? That's okay. Still a fun time. And then, we came back, watched the game, played some 2K beforehand, and then came back, watched the game, you know, and it was just a fun time. And I'm a big sports person, you know, and not just football, but watching the Leaf game or watching, you know, playoffs or like Olympics, World Cup especially was another big one. I'm a sucker for just, you know, sitting down with your friends and watching a sports game and all hanging out. So that, in my opinion, that's one of the most fun things that anyone can do. And you know, watching the Super Bowl with my girlfriend and a bunch of my friends was a lot of fun as well. And I knew I just had to write about the Super Bowl. So
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I think you mentioned before that you're not really a football fan. Like, your expertise, from my knowledge, is, like, in hockey.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hockey is definitely my knowledge or my biggest area of expertise. So, I've been playing hockey my whole life. I play for Laurier Brantford's men's hockey team. Like I said, I work for the Brantford Bulldogs, which is their hockey team as well. And I write for two hockey websites. So, hockey's been biggest part of my life for a long time. I watched almost every Leaf game. And you know, it's been fun also with the Sponic. There's a good amount of like freedom that you kind of have. So almost every one of my story pictures has been allowed. I've been like fine to write about it. So it's been pretty good being able to write about, you know, different stuff, especially around hockey. So I write not just about Laurier's team, but being able to write about the NHL season and current news that is around hockey. But also managing to fit that in with other sports that are going on around campus, because Laurier Brantford, if you don't know, has many sports teams, and I think it's a bit of an untapped market that, you know, one of the most valuable things that this campus has to offer is sports teams. And think of how many other campuses that you have to get signed, you have to get scouted just to, you know, just to play for their sports teams. Laurier Brantford, you can come, anyone can try out. You don't need prior experience. Even the varsity teams, you can come and try out beforehand. So I think that's a big part of the campus and a big big selling point, and definitely one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to come here is because of the cool hockey program that they had. And being able to write about all the sports teams and meet people that play for all the sports teams, being able to interview them, it's been another one of my favorite parts of the job. So, yeah, even though I'm not the biggest football fan, it's still a lot of fun to write about that. But hockey, I would say, is definitely my area of expertise for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I really like how you mentioned that there's a lot of variety. Not only, I mean, we have variety within sports at the Sputnik because there's like variety at Laurier Brantford too. So actually that kind of goes into like one of the questions that I did have in mind for you. It's like there's just, I feel like there's always so much happening at Laurier Brantford. Regardless of people might disagree with me or not, but like, I don't know, I feel like there's always something and there's always like a game going on. Mm-hmm. We have so many sports teams. So when it comes to like pitching to the Sputnik and like writing articles, because as a lead writer, you're writing two every month.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you decide what you want to cover and like what you don't want to cover?
So yeah, you did make a good point about the campus. And I think that there is a lot that goes on, and I'm pretty involved in the campus, and I know a lot of people that work at the Students Union. I know they do a great job. Like, there's always, each week there's something to go like going on. It's like a lot of the students get involved, and I think because of a smaller campus that we have here at Laurier Brantford, I think it's good that, you know, there's a really good sense of community, and you know, because there's so many things going on, it's good for people to get involved and to go and feel that sense of community. And one thing that So I'm also a campus ambassador, so I do tours and help with recruitment and admissions for incoming students. And one thing that people always ask about is, like, what's the student life like? And I think Laurier Brantford has a great student life, especially because it is a smaller campus. It's a lot easier to meet people, and there's a definitely tighter sense of community. It feels like a big high school almost, which I really like. But when it comes to pitching ideas, I think I am pretty, like, up to date on, like, when tournaments are happening and you know, just making sure that, okay, if I have to get an article out for March, what can I write about that's happening in February type of thing, so that I can kind of be prepared. Mm-hmm. And also in the sports world, so like just kind of knowing when big events are going on, and especially with hockey, you know, I'm on Twitter all the time. I know hockey pretty good, and I know what is when the big dates are. So whether that's the All-Star game or the Winter Classic or the trade deadline or just writing about something and just like a certain team season. So I wrote an article about the Leafs season, and it was about the third of the way mark, and again, I'm a big Leafs fan, so that was kind of something that I wanted to do and I've been thinking about for a while. But for March, kind of knowing that the Super Bowl was happening in February, that was kind of looking ahead, I knew that was something that I wanted to cover for sure. And so it's just kind of, when it comes to pictures, it's more like just kind of staying up to date on things. If I have to, I'll make out a list of, okay, there's a hockey tournament in March, I can cover that. There's a basketball tournament in January, I can cover that. Or an event like the Super Bowl, or an event like, you know, the Brantford Bulldogs qualifying for the playoffs, you know, those kind of happen sort of around the same time. So just kind of making a list for myself and planning out when I'm going to write things, and just staying up to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I want to say, like, how do you stay up to date? Which I know sounds, you kind of already, like, talked about this, but you write for so many different outlets. Yeah. It's not just the Sputnik that you have under your belt. So, you know, and because there is one article that is not yet published that you wrote. It will be published soon, but it's basically on baseball.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really happy to see that because I was like, whoa, baseball. I feel like we don't really talk about that. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like I almost forgot that it even existed because, like, I'm not even, like, in remotely in sports. So, so I don't know, like.
Yeah, well, so when I kind of got the job for the Sputnik, one thing that was one thing I wanted to do was also kind of mentioned to me, but one thing I wanted to do was kind of provide as much variety as possible and kind of showcase all the different sports that Laurier Brantford has to offer. So whether that be hockey, basketball, volleyball, indoor soccer, or cross country. Unfortunately, we don't have a baseball team. I think Maine campus might have a softball team, but Laurier Brantford does not. Definitely, potentially an idea to pitch that into athletics, maybe get a softball team or something going on. But yeah, I know I'm not a giant baseball fan, but I do keep up to date with the Blue Jays fairly well. And I think you know, that was kind of something I wanted to cover. But the baseball season didn't start till end of March, and now we're a couple of games in, and that was just something I kind of wanted to touch on, was the beginning of the baseball season. So, and again, because there's no baseball team at Laurier Branford, I kind of wanted to touch on it. Baseball is still a sport, kind of like you said, you know, can be kind of forgotten, especially because during the school year, starts in September, and most people go till April. Baseball is off from November until beginning of April, so kind of the prime years of, or not the prime years, the prime months of the school year, you know, hockey, football, like Super Bowl, and basketball, and I guess soccer as well when the World Cup is on. But yeah, so the baseball season doesn't necessarily happen throughout the school year, or at least the university school year, and then it starts up again in the spring and the summer. So yeah, I think definitely can be a forgotten kind of league, especially if you don't follow it consistently. But I did get asked by one of my buddies to join a Major League Baseball fantasy league, which, again, like I said, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, so I never joined a fantasy baseball league ever, but I'm like, you know what, let's join and have some fun, see how it goes. And then that kind of got me thinking about the idea to write about the upcoming baseball season. So it was fun doing research on that, especially about a topic that I'm not, you know, super educated on. I know enough about it to write about it, but I definitely had to do some research about how certain teams are doing and like what expectations are. So I read a lot of like expert written baseball articles about the upcoming season, like who the favorite teams are to win. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to write about that because it is something that I'm not as, you know, educated on. It's fun to, you know, branch out and try something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of like ties into how, I mean, you wrote about football too, and obviously the Super Bowl is such a big thing, but like especially baseball, like I feel like I didn't even know that the season was during the summer, and that's probably why it's so overlooked all the time, because it's not during the school year. Yeah. It's during the summer, and I just I personally did not know that. I feel like I'm learning so much. But yeah, it's so good to like do your own research and then like dive into like different things, so you're able to like cover everything, right? Because I do remember that conversation about it was actually not necessarily, it was basically advice from higher ups, I want to say, or like readers who read the Sputnik 2, and they were like, we need more diversity. And I feel like this year, well, you're basically the sole like sports writer we kind of have that's like really consistent throughout the year, and I feel like you did a pretty good job at like, you know, sprinkling in some diversity.
Oh, why,
and,
thank you. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
and having something like, it's not all just hockey, and it's not just all Laurier Branford. Like, we've had different things, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that was kind of hearing that, you know, it's good to sprinkle in different sports and, you know, not just Laurier Branford. I think that was a good thing, because now I got more ideas for stories. I'm not, you know, like fighting with writer's block or anything. It's good to, you know, at the end of the day, if there's, let's say, for example, there's not any tournaments going on, there's not any tryouts going on for some of the sports teams, at the end of the day, I can fall back on the NHL, or I can fall back on an event like the Super Bowl, where people are still going to want to read it, even if it's not campus focused. So I think that was a good thing that I thoroughly enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, okay. And you just mentioned that, like, you don't struggle with, like, writer's block ever?
sometimes. I think when it comes to, like, writing articles, I think, like, the sites that I do write for, those aren't necessarily news articles. A lot of those are, like, opinion pieces. So it's, like, I don't get burnt out by writing only news stories about the Leafs, and then only news stories about the Dallas Stars, and then only news stories for Laurier Branford and the Sputnik. So I guess it's good that I'm able to write different types of pieces, and, you know, being able to, and those sites, those are also kind of like freelance. I write when I want. They're pretty flexible for the most part. So if, for example, I'm overwhelmed with school or just work, or if I'm just busy, if I need a week or two off from writing, they have no problem giving me that. So I think that's also a good thing, just the flexibility with them. And then with the Sputnik, it definitely is, sometimes I do, you know, reach writer's block, and sometimes I have to think deep, like, what can I write about, or what can I add to make this article more interesting than just your basic news or sports news article. So sometimes it just takes a little bit of, you know, extra thinking, extra research on, like, kind of what's going on in the sports community. One thing that kind of helps me, especially for the Leafs site, is just going on Twitter. Just go on Twitter. Someone's always got a tweet that they can talk about, and then I can write, you know, my opinion on it, or I can write my opinion on how a certain player is playing or how someone is doing. And then when it comes to Laurier Brantford, and the Sputnik and the sports that are going on here, just kind of keeping up to date with, you know, what is happening, what's going on. And because we have a good amount of sports teams here, there's kind of always something going on. Kind of like you mentioned earlier, there's a good amount of stuff that's already going on. So there's not really ever a time where there's no tournaments happening for like a month or two. There's always going to be something to write about. And at the end of the day, if there is a circumstance where I don't have anything to write about, just do some research. Sometimes just go for a walk outside, especially, you know, with the weather getting nicer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going on some trails. I actually had a recent assignment, a videography assignment, and I had to film, my brother was training for a marathon, so I filmed him racing and practicing and filmed him at the race. It was a couple weeks ago, a lot of fun. Just kind of doing things like that just to take my mind off of it. And when you take your mind off of it, in my opinion, you think about it a little bit more, and then you think of ideas that you wouldn't have necessarily thought about when you were, like, trying to come up with ideas. Sometimes the best ideas come when you're not trying to think of ideas. So that's kind of what I do. But, yeah, it's worked out. And, again, the Sputnik is also pretty flexible. So, like, if times are busy, they're, you know, if I need a couple extra days to get an article out or to get interviews, for example, they're pretty good with that too. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, awesome. And I'm glad to hear that you had a flexible time here as well at the Sputnik.
No, it was pretty good. I have no complaints. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I mean, I love to hear that. But you mentioned video, and you know, so you recorded your brother training for a marathon. Yeah. That sounds really cool, first of all. But you know, I also want to kind of go into another topic here. So you used to have a TikTok account.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
So I started this TikTok account about January of last year, so 2023, and it was called 10 a.m. Hockey. So basically, every day or every other day, I would post a video of me just talking about a random topic going on in the hockey world, and my videos would be like a minute long. It was just kind of something to do to kind of like not only gain experience in the field, but also just kind of for fun. Like I was on TikTok pretty often, and I would see how many takes or how many topics come up, or like, oh, I want to talk about this, or like I could see myself doing that as well. And so I started. The original name was 10 o'clock hockey talk, and then I thought that was okay, but then I felt like the name was a little bit too long, so then I changed it up a little bit, shortened it down to 10 a.m. hockey. Has a nice, I felt, had a nice ring to it. No real backstory behind the name, just kind of came up with it and thought it stuck. But yeah, so I think I did that until I guess December or January of this year, so a few months ago, January 2024. And I had this one series where I'd go through each of the NHL drafts every year and talk about the worst players that were selected. And the first one I made got like 400,000 views. And then I was just like starstruck. I was in shock that that got so many views, because like it was just a regular video that I had made time and time again. No different format, really. Like I didn't like pay to boost the views, or I didn't pay for ads or anything. It just kind of happened. And then I turned off my phone. I went to work. Came back after, and like my video just like blew up. It just out of nowhere, and that was so cool. So that series, I started with the 2019 draft. I went through every year to like 2006, and each one of those videos got a lot of views. And then over the summer, I hit a bit of like a dry patch of not getting as many views as I was. But then I picked it up a little bit again come the fall and the winter when like the World Juniors were happening and stuff. So that was a lot of fun to do. And like I might come back to it at some point, but maybe in the summer when I'm not as busy with schoolwork and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of fun to do, and definitely had a good time doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And when it comes to your when you critique those people, I guess, like I want to know, like, what's your criteria for determining like who's the worst in like the drafts? Yeah.
Okay. So in the NHL draft, each team selects a player, you know, selects a prospect to be on their team. You know, they select an up and coming kid out of college or out of junior hockey or out of Europe or whatever. And then usually, so obviously the players that are taken at the top are expected to be the best. So like taking number one, that's like the best player. But if that player doesn't turn out as they're projected to, then they're considered a bust. So there's like so then there also goes into players that are taken super late in the draft that are just kind of no one will think that they'll even become like an NHL regular player. those players are considered steals. It's like, oh, you stole this guy at the end of the draft because no one else wanted him, and then he turns into a superstar. So usually guys that are taken in the top half of the first round, so top 15, if they don't turn out to be great NHLers, you consider them a bust, and then you talk about them, and then I think what got so many views was me talking about, like, let's say a popular team takes a player at the height of the draft where the fans think that he's going to be a superstar, and then he ends up not being. Whenever you talk about that, fans are like, no, I don't want to talk about it. It brings back bad memories, and then creates a big debate in my comments, and then you can make more videos off of that. So it's kind of like creating discussion, creating debates is kind of how I tried to get a lot of views, and that's definitely what I started off with, is, you know, just having an open discussion with people in my comments, people that follow me, and then you know, I think that just created more views and more comments for me, and that in my opinion is like the most fun, just having a actual conversation, actual debate about hockey, and with someone about, you know, my opinion versus their opinion, and debating about facts and debating about which player is better. That to me is the most fun. But yeah, so I think that topic of the draft, it's a big thing every NHL season is the draft, but talking about it and making videos about it, I think, create a lot of a bigger following for me, and then obviously create more debate within my comments and create more views. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah, and because, like, in TikTok, you can, like, make a video based on a comment. Like,
yeah,
I don't know,
exactly.
One, feature. I don't even remember what it's called, but wow. So, like, it's just more and more
kinda,
content
yeah.
for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's cool. So, like, why did you decide to, like, start this TikTok account to begin with?
Well, okay,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, what's the backstory?
Bit of a decent backstory to it. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of, like. Kind of like for a while, like most of high school, I kind of wanted to start something like a YouTube channel or something, but I just kind of never got around to it. It was just more of like, honestly, like a fear of putting my face on a screen and talking, having people see me. So it was just kind of like I something that I definitely wanted to do, but never really got around to it. And then, you know, at the end of grade 12, I got accepted into Laurier, into the program, and my main goal was to work in sports, and it still is to work in sports, and especially like for TSN covering hockey or something. That's the main goal. So I got into school, and you know, my focus throughout high school and grade 12 was getting into the program, and that is for most people. So I got into the program, and then once I was, I think after my first semester, I was like, okay, I've got the hang of school, I've got it under wraps now. I know how to, you know, do essays, I know how to study for tests, I know how to do all the basic stuff. And I was living by myself in residence with, I guess I had roommates, but living away from my parents for the first time, you know, learning how to do chores, learning how to do laundry, and, you know, cook, all the basic stuff that, you know, you got to learn as an adult, right? So that was kind of me balancing all that for first semester. And then when second semester came, I kind of learned all that, and I thought about it more and more about, like, future, like, job opportunities, for example. So I had a professor in one of my classes named David Haskell. You've probably had him before. And most students here have definitely had him before. I think he's now the program coordinator, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I've had him for two classes this semester right now. And on the first day of class, he had, obviously it was a first year class, so I had no idea who he was, but he introduced himself about like what his background and stuff. And he used to be a former news reporter. So I thought about that, and I thought, okay, maybe this is someone that I can talk to about how to get into the field. And he was the perfect guy to talk to. So I sent him an email. I'm like, yo, can we talk for like 10 minutes before class about it? And he was more than willing to help me. And so I went to him. We talked about it. And basically he said, have like, I forget exactly what he called it, but I think he quoted it as like a demo tape. Have something that like companies and employers can look at to like make sure that you kind of know what you're doing. So he said, as an example, create your own talk show kind of thing. And the easiest thing to do at that point was go on TikTok, filming myself talking about a random topic and punching it out, and that's your video. So that was kind of the original idea behind it. So shout out David Haskell for giving me kind of like not a little bit of motivation to start something. He didn't like tell me exactly what to do, but he's just like gave me an idea. And then I thought about it more and more, and you know, coming into school at age 18 and then thinking about my future, obviously I wanted to kind of build as much of a resume for myself as I could, as soon as possible, so that when I'm done school, I have some experience to go back on. And then, I started making videos, and I think the one video I did I've been doing it for a couple weeks, and after a couple weeks, I finally had one that got over 10,000 views. And that was kind of my first goal, mm-hmm. get a video with 10,000 views and then keep going from there. So once I got that, I just kind of kept going, and a bunch of my friends found my account then after that, mm-hmm. and they loved the videos, and then they just kind of stick from there. So I love doing it, and so shout out David Haskell for the original idea.
Oh wow, yeah, okay. So I actually didn't know it was David Haskell. So
yeah.
I thought you said it was Bruce.
Oh well, I did talk to Bruce at some point. I think I talked to Haskell. I started mm-hmm. the account, and then I started talking to Bruce about it, and I told him about what I had been doing on TikTok,
right.
And he's like, yeah, great idea. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, because I remember you mentioned Bruce before. So so yeah. No, but they're both right.
Yeah.
David Haskell, especially what he's talking about with like his demo tape or demo reel, like because David Haskell, he has experience in broadcast television. So when you're doing like broadcast and journalism, like you need to have a demo reel.
Yeah.
Totally. You need to have like a short video, like 1 to 2 minutes, just compiling like all the times you were on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So employers can see like how you are and how you deal
yeah.
with people. So yeah, he's so right with that.
Yeah.
And then of course Bruce is gonna love the idea
yeah.
too. So I honestly did think that was really smart of you, and I thought that was really cool to have your TikTok account in that way. So I also saw on your TikTok like before when it was actually last year. You had like a video where you were like interviewing people and like asking for their like opinions on like the games and stuff, and I just thought that was so cool. Like those I think are called like streeter videos.
Yeah.
So do you want to like talk a bit about that?
Yeah, so for sure. I think so after I kind of started making TikTok videos for a while, I kind of wanted to expand a little bit and kind of showcase more and more skills that would be useful in a journalism setting, and especially kind of the stuff that we've learned in the program so far and throughout first year. I kind of wanted to expand my account a little bit and kind of not only create more kind of stuff for like an employer to look at, but also kind of for myself. I want to try new things and also potentially reach a bigger audience doing streeter type videos. So
mm-hmm.
So along with those, I did a few live streams over the summer. I did a live stream of the draft actually, so that was one thing. And I did a few live streams with a guy I met on TikTok. We did like trivia things, like debates that we just had with each other, and those were pretty cool. But so the streeters, those started, I did one of, I went to game 6 of the first round of the playoffs, Leafs versus Tampa Bay, and I was at the Maple Leaf Square where all the fans are outside watching the game on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with my buddy Owen, shout out Owen, he doesn't go here, but went to play with my buddy Owen, and he filmed me, and I had this cheap little mic from Dollarama, and I got for my birthday, like way back, just as a joke almost, but it worked. And so I interviewed a few people at the Leaf game, basically giving their opinion on the playoffs and their opinion on certain players. And that was a lot of fun to do. And those guys all followed me, and I made some friends there. And then then funny story about that game. So game 6, I don't know if you know, Maima, but the Leafs had this incredibly long drought of making it past the first round. They had not made it past the first round of the playoffs since 2004. So it's like 2 months before I was born. So like, crazy long time, right? So they had made the playoffs a couple years in a row. I think it was like 6 years in a row. But they lost in the first round every time. And they would always lose in game 7 in a heartbreaking fashion. And they would always choke a lead. And it was just, the Leafs were just known for not being clutch at all. So so my buddy Owen, his older sister was on a trip in Tampa, in Florida. And game 6 was going to be in Tampa. So he invited me to go with him to Tampa to watch game 6. So as much as I wanted to go, I had also had plans to go to Montreal at the end of May, so I was kind of saving up my money for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after a year of being in school and hardly not working, you know, the funds weren't looking as great. So I'm like, no, dude, I appreciate it, but I think I'll next time maybe, but I'll have to pass. So,
mm-hmm.
So he asked his other buddy. His buddy said yeah, and then like last minute, his buddy canceled on him. So Owen was like, okay, so I'm not going to Tampa Bay anymore. Would you want to go to the square and watch the game from there? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. I've never been. Something that I'd always kind of wanted to do. And it's game 6. The Leafs are up 3-2 in the series and a chance to move on. The Leafs can move on if they win that game. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. So he let me know like the day before. He's like, yo, let's get in line for, because you have to get tickets to go to that.
Yeah.
They're free tickets, but you have to wait in the queue and basically beat out thousands of other people that want to go to this, right? It's a free Leaf game almost, right? So I was in queue. He was in queue. The deadline was like noon on like the day before. So me and him were both waiting. And I'm waiting. I'm like, I want two tickets, one for me and him, one for him. And I had no luck. They had all sold out by the time I was on. So I had no luck with it. But then a couple minutes later, Owen messages me. He's like, yo, I got the tickets. And I'm like, no way. You got the tickets? That's crazy. So he got the tickets. Mm-hmm. And we took the GO train down to Toronto. And so on the way there, me and him just kind of hung out. And I'm like, maybe I should do some streeter interviews while I'm here. There's no better way to do it. Mm-hmm. No better time. Game 6, playoffs. It's going to be thousands of Leaf fans there. Everyone's going to want to be in on it. So why not? So I did those. And it turned out pretty good in my opinion. The mic was a little not great, but I got a new mic since then, and now that one works really well. But that game went to overtime, and the Leafs won. The Leafs finally won a playoff series. They moved on. They beat Tampa Bay, who had made the finals 3 years in a row, one of the best teams. They beat them in the first round, and it was that scene of the crowd outside was just electric. It was packed. Like, it was so many people there, and everyone there is, you can tell they're a passionate Leafs fan. They want to be there. They're waiting outside in the rain and the cold, because it was a cold day.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a jacket, and it was freezing. But the Leafs end up winning, and the first series win in over 19 years, and then and I was there for it. So one of my favorite moments as a Leafs fan, not only seeing my team win, but being able to be there with thousands of other fans, with one of my buddies, and seeing them win on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, Leafs lost in the next round to Florida. But that series, I think, is going to be remembered for a long time. So
yeah, of course, that sounds like such an awesome memory too.
Totally,
like such a core memory.
Well, totally, I would.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. You're bang on with that.
Yeah, no, and like, it's just so awesome how you brought your mic with you, and you could interview people right then there, because like, you're right, like that was the perfect moment. Like, people are most passionate, and they're. And I remember once I was in Toronto over the summer during, I don't remember which game it was specifically, because again, I don't really pay attention to those things. But everyone was wearing blue.
Uh-huh.
So if it was the summer, I assume maybe like
Blue Jays?
Maybe. Yeah, it was just packed. It was just really hard leaving Toronto.
No, totally.
Because of the traffic. So I can imagine it was like probably the same.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, we took the train, so it was easy that way. The train's got no traffic. But whenever me and my dad go, so my dad also, he's a big Leafs fan. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I got it from. So we go to a couple games every year. And me and him will just drive down. And he knows a parking spot. Like, he knows a... he knows where to park and stuff, and he also likes making like a day out of it. Like, so we won't leave and just go to the game. We'll leave early. We'll go hang out in Toronto, grab dinner, type of thing, and then we'll go to the game and enjoy the game there. But because there's so much traffic after the game, everyone's leaving Toronto to go home. We'll go. There's this place we go to. I forget exactly. The Firkin Bar is where we go, and we'll go grab a pound of wings, watch the late games that are out west and Pacific time. We'll watch those while we're there. And spend an hour there or so, and all the traffic's gone. So by going out and getting food, we're getting home at the same time. We're just not waiting in the car for another hour. So those are, along with going the game with Owen, going to Leaf games with my dad are always fun too. So
that's so nice, and like, that's so smart to beat rush hour in that kind of way where you're like just having a good time.
Yeah. In the restaurant we go to, it's like, it's a nice spot. It's in a good part of town. Like, it's right downtown, right? But every time we go, and you think on like a Saturday night at 10 p.m., you think it'd be packed. But like, we get a table, no problem every time. And the food comes out quick. The food's good. And we just kind of hang out and watch hockey. So nothing better than that.
Yeah, no, that sounds really fun. So in general, I want to kind of go back to like sports as a whole.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, you're like pretty much our sole, like, consistent, like, sports writer. We don't really have many volunteers. So, when it comes to sports reporting, and you can also speak to your experience, like, in other outlets, too. Like, what would you say is the most, like, challenging part about reporting on sports?
I think, good question. Well, the world of sports is always changing. So it's kind of making sure that you're up to date on everything, and especially, like, sometimes I'll write an article, like a newsworthy article for one of these sites, but if I don't write it by a certain time, they can't use it, right? Because how many other sites have already written about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So writing about last night's game 2 days later might not be the right idea. So it's kind of like being able to stay on top of everything. The Sputnik is pretty flexible because we write monthly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a recap of what's happened in the month, not necessarily what's happened in the week or in the day. So if I want to write about any tournament that's happened over the month of February, I can write about that, you know, when it happens, when it's done, and then get interviews when there's still a lot of leeway for extra time to edit it and then get it out by the end of the month. So I think that would be the toughest part, is just kind of being up to date on everything, because it is always changing. You have to kind of stay on your feet and, you know, make sure that you're staying up to date with all the different stuff that's going on. But the Sputnik has been pretty good with, you know, being flexible, and it's not too time consuming, you know. Like, again, two articles a month isn't, you know, a big ask by any means. And I think a big part of it also is writing for Laurier Brantford. There's not a ton of sports teams around, but there still is stuff. And it's just about making sure that, you know, you kind of, like, I try to think of the right word to describe, but I know enough people on each team where, like, I can ask them to, you know, when their tournaments are coming up, or, you know, when they have practices, or when they have tryouts, or, like, and I, again, from then I can ask them, like, okay, do you know anyone that would be willing to help me with an interview? And then it goes from there. So, and that kind of goes back to how Laurier is such a tight-knit community. You know, going to a bigger campus, you might not know everybody that plays for every sports team, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's just kind of staying up to date on everything and making sure that you're kind of keeping track of what's going on. But even for the site that I do write for, most of my pieces are opinion pieces, and an opinion piece can be kind of whenever you kind of think of something. So it's not like, it doesn't have to be newsworthy. It doesn't have to be like timely, which is also kind of flexibility. But the world of sports is always changing. So just kind of making sure that you're keeping track of all of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and, you know, like you mentioned, like, if you hand in an article about a game that happened, like, 2 days ago, like, no one's going to take it.
Totally.
And, you know, that's, like, the same for news things, you know, usually in the news world when, you know, something happens, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that happened, like, a week ago. So, again, it depends on what it is, but, you know, I feel like journalists, like, everywhere can just relate to you and, like, relate with that sentiment. It's just everywhere. But, at the Sputnik, because we're monthly, like, it's pretty much like whatever happened in the month is newsworthy and timely, so it's fine. When it comes to, like, speaking to people and, like, doing interviews, how do you feel about that? Because, like, I know you do streeters, but then even, like, for print, like, we have to have at least, like, two interviews for each article, and, you know, it just, I don't know, how do you like talk to people, I guess?
A lot of it is just kind of, again, kind of like I mentioned before, making sure that I know when my deadlines are, and I need to ask, okay, I need to interview two people for this article by then, and then two people for this other article by then as well. So it's just kind of knowing when to reach out. And from my experience, everyone has been willing to help me. So I know, so I talked to last year's lead sports writer, Jackson, just a little bit about kind of what he did and what his kind of, what his strategy was when it came to interviewing people. And he told me that almost everyone is more than willing to help, and they're like, especially when you ask them, like, hey, I know you play for the basketball team, can I interview you about your most recent tournament? They're flattered, they're more than happy to help. And again, it kind of goes back to the great people that we have at this campus. They're always willing to help me, and kind of knowing people on the basketball team and knowing, yeah, you know, someone that would be willing to help me with this. So having that also connection, like, hey, you know them, I know them, would you want to help me with this article about your recent tournament, kind of thing. So just kind of knowing when to reach out, and also kind of after I did the first few, I kind of got the hang of it. It wasn't as, like, intimidating, wasn't as nerve-wracking, because asking someone for an interview, I think most journalists and journalism students can relate to this, can be intimidating, it can be a little bit scary. So after I got a few down under my belt, it kind of became a lot more natural and a lot less intimidating. And then, so it kind of, as the year went on, when it came to writing articles, I got more and more comfortable with it, and I learned that people are more than willing to help. So it's just kind of, once you do it a few times, you get the hang of it, and it's not as intimidating anymore.
Yeah, and I really like how you bring that up, because I feel like not enough people realize that, like, people love it when you ask them to interview them. Like, people love talking about not just themselves, naturally, but people love talking about things that they care about. So, you know, I think that that's really interesting, and I'm really happy to hear that, you know, players especially are like flattered and like they want to talk about their latest tournaments. I'm sure they trained really hard for them and, you know, would love to talk about them. So, you know, and it's really nice how you also reached out to the last lead sports writer from last year, Jackson Rice, also an amazing writer.
Yeah,
I loved his work last year. I also asked him to join the Sputnik again, but I think it was just busy, but that's also fine. Great guy. So it's nice how like you were able to like reach out and connect. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of what you said even earlier in this podcast about how, you know, you reached out to David Haskell and you just talked to him for even if it was just like 10 minutes before class and he was willing to do it. And I just want to like reiterate that like in this industry, like the journalism industry, but I'm sure like other industries too, that is so important. You know, if you see someone who is experienced or has some sort of knowledge that you might want or want advice from, like reach out to them. I'm sure they would also love to talk to you in the same way, like, you know, sources want to talk to you for interviews and stuff, right?
Yeah, and you're totally right on that, especially, you know, most fields are kind of feeling the same thing right now. It's tough to get jobs, and I'm talking to so many people, even a couple of my buddies are in engineering, and, you know, that's engineers are needed in today's world. They're huge, but none of them have gotten a co-op. They've had like 20 interviews, and they've reached out to hundreds of spots for co-ops and internships, and they've gotten no luck. So when it comes to journalism especially, it's you're bang on when you say it's important to not only talk to people for advice, but also making connections so that people, if you need help getting a job down the line, it's also a very important skill to have, and definitely something I'm trying to do as best as I can. But just even talking to someone like Jackson, I knew who he was last year, he knew who I was, and now me and him have a few classes together this year, and we actually had audio storytelling too. I don't know if you've taken that class with Avery.
I took it with a Conestoga prof.
Okay.
Because my program, like, I was the last year to have it with Conestoga, like, partnership. So I never had Avery for a class, but I did work under her at her podcast studio last summer. So I still know her.
She's definitely very well known by journalism students at campus nowadays.
I love her.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's awesome. So me and Jackson had audio storytelling, too. We actually have it right now. And we record a podcast together for our final assignment. So now me and him are pretty good buddies, and we hang out a lot. So,
really cool. So when it comes to connections, it's just like, when you were talking about like the industry and how like you have friends that are engineers, like it actually just made me think, because like I also have a lot of friends that go to like the University of Waterloo or like Laurier in Waterloo, because I'm from Waterloo. So it's really surprising to me that not a lot of people can find jobs. Yeah. You know, it's sad almost. We're all graduating, or at least people my age. So I keep asking, I don't know. I feel like the person that people dread, because I'm always asking them like, so like, what are your plans for like after graduation? Like, everyone hates that question, but like, I don't know, what else am I supposed to say? So, you know, and like people usually they're like, I don't know, or like, you know, I'm looking and there's like nothing. And I just, you know, obviously that's not their fault. There's like, or in most cases I would like to say, because there's like, you know, the industry is just, you know, there's the job market is just not great, but you know, make it like, having your name just like in the minds of people, like, even at the back of their heads, like that is just so important. I guess this is like, I don't know, I was gonna say that like you just filmed a podcast, now this is like your second one today.
So you said something about connections. I'm trying as best as I can, and you know, I'm still 19, right? So my birthday's in a couple months, but I'm still 19. I still got lots of time ahead of me to figure out jobs and careers and stuff. And same with people that graduate university at 22, 23, 24. You still got so much time to figure out your career and figure out job opportunities. And so one thing that I did, so I did reach out to somebody that works for the Brantford Bulldogs. So I'd heard last year, I'm sure you had heard last year as well, the Bulldogs moving from Hamilton to Brantford. And they play at the Civic Center, which is literally right over there. I can walk to it from my house in Brantford. It takes 10 minutes to get there. So I'm like, you know what, maybe let's just try and reach out to somebody and see if I can get in with them for this year, even if I'm just doing like concessions or something. Like, see what I can do. And because any experience in the field is valid experience, like it'll help you. So on LinkedIn, I found a guy. I just got a random notification that he got a new job with the Bulldogs, and I reached out to him, and I asked them about like upcoming job opportunities and like, potentially being able to work with the team for this year. So this was last like in the summer last year. So he reached out back to me and said, "Hey, nice to meet you. Like, we don't have anything yet, but stay posted on our Instagram, like stay up to date with that. And there's going to be like a job fair. There's going to be something coming up within like by the end of the summer." So I'm like, "Okay, sounds good." So one day I was at work. I'm also from Waterloo, like Umaima. Yeah. So I worked for the city of Waterloo last year, and I was just on my break going through the Instagram, and I saw the Bulldogs had posted that they're having a job fair in like the coming week or so. So I talked to my mom, like, "Yo, can we go to this after work? Can I drive up to Brantford and can I do this job interview and try and get something?" So she's like, yeah, of course. So we went up, and they had lines for everything. So they had lines for like game production and game operations and game like game crew, and then also like concessions, merchandise, all that. So basically whatever job you want to line up for, just line up, you go apply, do a quick 5-minute interview, they get to know you, and then they get back to you within a week or so. So the original one that I applied for was game production. So I don't know exactly what I'd be doing, but something with cameras or sound or lighting or something along the lines of that, which I would love to do because, again, I love hockey, and being able to work for a hockey team would be pretty sick. So I got in line, and the guy that interviewed me, his name was Reed Duffy, who's the color commentator for the team, and he saw my resume, and he gave me his business card. He's like, "Yo, like if you ever need anything, you can reach out to me about it." So that was really nice from him. And then he's like, "While you're here, just line up for something else. I'm sure someone will want you. Like,
yeah.
You seem like a really good guy." So I lined up for game operations, and the guy that I met on LinkedIn was the guy who interviewed me. So he recognized me.
Oh yeah.
He actually recognized me, and then we talked for a little bit, and he asked if I could skate. I'm like, "Yeah, I can skate. I play for Laureate's hockey team. I've been playing hockey my whole life." He's like, "All right, sweet." So then a week later, he called me. He's like, "Congratulations, Mitchell, you've got the job. We'd love to have you on our game crew." So now the couple games for the Bulldogs, first few games, I was on like a t-shirt toss and handing out stuff to the fans. And then after a couple games, they put me on ice crew. So basically, I don't know if you watch like hockey very much, but at TV timeouts, they have people with the big shovels and they'll shove up the snow and take it off the ice. So
yeah.
So now that's what I've been doing, and it's like the most fun job ever.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I do that twice a period. I sit down and watch the game, and I get paid to do it. So
yeah,
pretty fun job. And I hopefully, fingers crossed, well, I'm going to try and see if I can get anything else with the Bulldogs, see if they'll give me like an internship for next year or the year after. Mm-hmm. And we'll just kind of go from there. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Thanks.
And that's so cool. Like through LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You know, I love LinkedIn. Because like, things like this, I feel like happen all the time. Like, you know, professors tell me all the time, like, you should reach out to people you admire, like on LinkedIn, and like ask them like for a 10-minute chat and like whatever. But then like also I feel like you see people on LinkedIn and then like a few days later you see them in person and it's just like crazy.
Yeah.
So actually I have a story too. So this kind of goes back to TikTok as well.
Yeah.
So in 2019, like when I was in grade 12, I used to follow this one TikToker, and they used to post a lot of like not necessarily political things, but yes, political things. But then also they went to like U Ottawa, like University of Ottawa, and they used to talk about like mental health there and like how they ran like this program, and it made me genuinely want to consider like going to that school because like that's when you choose like which post-secondary institution you want to go to, and obviously I did not go to U Ottawa. But like recently I found him on LinkedIn and I reached out to him and I was like, "Oh my God, like I think I used to follow you on TikTok."
Yeah.
Like, no, like that's so random, but you know, and then it turns out he also worked at his like student newspaper.
No way. Cool.
And also I just realized I forgot they go by they, them now. So, but yeah, no, they work for their student newspaper.
Nice.
And we had that in common, and that was just
cool.
Really crazy. So I don't know. LinkedIn is a fun place. It's crazy, and I love it so much.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just kind of when I first got it, I just kind of use it for fun. Here's some of my work. Threw it up there, connected with my friends and stuff. But now like you don't realize it, but you actually it's those like connections that you do make on LinkedIn can actually help you down the line. So definitely one thing that helped me with the Bulldogs, and definitely something to try and keep doing down the line. But definitely something that I recommend that anyone does, no matter what field you're in.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, just to kind of wrap up the podcast, like, I just want to kind of go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, what we started this podcast off with, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. So, you know, in your personal opinion, and I really wanted to ask you your opinion, because obviously in an article you're asking other people, but your opinion isn't there. So do you think they're going to win again next year? That would be the third time in a row.
Three in a row is crazy. I think, it's tough because there's a lot of good teams that are going to come out of that, come out of the NFL this year. I think, popular picks include the Chiefs, the 49ers again, or I think, are the betting favorites, if I'm not wrong.
Right.
Baltimore Ravens are also big contenders there. Buffalo Bills. I can't tell you how many of my friends are Buffalo Bills fans, but I'd love to go to a Bills game just for fun. Like I'm not the biggest football fan, but going to a Bills game would be a hell of an experience. But I think it's tough to bet against the Chiefs. It's really tough because time and time again, Mahomes just keeps pushing through and he keeps winning. And I think he's won 3 Super Bowls now in 5 years. So that's pretty big accomplishment for him. But if I had to make a pick right now, I'm going to go Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills finally break through. They're in a similar spot to the Leafs where they keep doing well, but they're just not getting past the final hurdle yet. I think next year's the year for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. All right.
How about you? What's your pick?
Me? I mean, you know what? Honestly, if I could guess... I was kind of rooting on like the Kansas City Chiefs because that would be the third time in a row, but I don't know if that is because I don't watch football or anything, to be honest. But I don't know. I feel like if the chances are high, like, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. So you tell me, like, are the chances like pretty low? Because I don't think has that ever happened before where a team's won like 3 times in a row?
I don't believe so, no. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me. I think it's somewhere in the article I touched on it, but I don't think so. That would be pretty crazy. But if anyone's going to do it, it's Mahomes. He's just, time and time again, he's just pushed through in the playoffs, proved everybody wrong. And it'll take a real, real good team to beat the Chiefs. But I'm hoping for the Bills, and I think the Bills are fully capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and are you a Bills fan?
A little bit. So my favorite team is Seahawks. Just kind of grew up when the Seahawks were good, and just kind of stuck with the team, even though they're not as good as they were. Mm-hmm. They're not winning Super Bowls like they were back in the day. Mm-hmm. But I always liked their jerseys a lot too. Just the colors, the green and blue, is really cool.
Yeah.
Bills are, I'd say, my second favorite team. You know, since because there's no Canadian NFL team, right? Obviously, we got the CFL, but there's no Canadian NFL team. The Bills are the closest one that we have. If I had to have like a second favorite team, and whenever the Bills are playing, I'm cheering for the Bills. So of course.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, so actually, when it comes to the Seahawks, did they play in the Super Bowl? No, right?
No. So it was Kansas City versus San Francisco.
Right.
So the Seahawks won, I believe, 2013, and they made the Super Bowl again in 2014. They played against the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. And, again, many football fans remember this, but I remember watching this game. I was cheering for the Seahawks pretty hard, and they had a chance to go back-to-back and win 2 in a row. So, again, Tom Brady and the Patriots, legendary team, legendary franchise now. Final, like, minute of the game, the Seahawks from the one-yard line have a chance to take the lead and essentially put the game away, essentially win it. And quarterback Russell Wilson threw it, and it was an interception. And the Patriots got the ball, a minute left, and the game was done. The Patriots won. So Seahawks had a chance to win it, and now that mistake and that play is like a renowned, like, one of the most famous moments in NFL history, because they had a chance to win, and they blew it in the last minute. So.
Yeah, that sucks. So they've just never played again in the Super
Not
Bowl?
Not since then. No, it's been about 10 years for them, but I guess, a lot of it since then has been Tom Brady just kind of going back almost every year, and Brady's retired, it's been Mahomes that's kind of... Well, Mahomes did play Brady in the Super Bowl 1 year, and Brady won pretty handily, but now kind of Mahomes and the Chiefs are kind of taking over as the new kind of dynasty in the NFL.
So did the Seahawks like ever actually win like the Super Bowl?
Yeah, okay. 2013 they won.
Right. Okay. I thought you mentioned it, but I just wanted to double check.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else you wanna talk about before we like officially wrap up?
Sure. I've had a great time writing for the Spun Deck. It's been a lot of fun being able to write and meet other journalism students and just to get a lot of good experience writing about sports and being able to work with students that are kind of in the same position as I am, being able to learn from them and learn from my editors. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully the Seahawks do well. Hopefully the Leafs make the second round again. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and thank you, Maya, for having me on the podcast today.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much, Mitchell, for joining me on The Orbit Season 2, Episode 7. Definitely take a look at Mitchell's article called Kansas City Chiefs Win Super Bowl 58, as well as other fabulous work in our March issue available on our website, thesputnik.ca. That's thesputnik.ca. Don't forget to follow our socials, including X, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Keep your eyes peeled for our final paper of the year, the April issue, on stands around campus, and as always, the next episode of The Orbit on Radio Laurier Station. Thank you for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.